The snapper's Hewlett, and the Browns trying to get on the board. They trail 7-0. 3:18 to go first quarter. Snap back, ball down. Coons into it. The kick is up, and the kick is good. And Coons is 8 for 8 on the year.
I was on cue that time.
You were good. This is to get the Browns within 8. Snap is back, ball is down. The kick by Coons is up, and the kick is good.
9 for 9.
9 for 9 for Travis Coons and a pair of 43-yarders. And the Browns are down by 8 with 4:05 left to go in the half. I mean, from 37 yards away. Snap is back. Ball is down. The kick is up by Coons. And the kick is good.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Matt Wilhelm, do you know what you're listening to?
Perfection?
Absolutely perfect. That's Mr. Perfect's theme song for those of you who are too young. I can envision we could get some Mr. Perfect like skits with Travis Coons right now to capitalize while he is 11 of 11 on the season, hit the game winner. I told him I'm calling him Mr. Perfect. From this point forward, this is why he was here. What a cool guy. Young guy from California. I got an opportunity to interview him one-on-one, and that's on ClevelandBrowns.com and the Browns mobile app. Just a cool kid from California. Didn't even know he was going to be a kicker until he was in junior college. Never thought he'd ever kick in the NFL. And he's taking home his game-winning game ball, and he's putting it in his kitchen.
Right at his kitchen island.
That's what I said. What are you
right
like
next to the bananas and apples.
You're like have a day with it. Like, hey, game-winning ball, how are you doing tonight? You know, what is it like? Some peanut butter and jelly? I don't know. But Travis Coons, they certainly got that decision, right? Special teams-wise, the two guys touching the ball with their feet have been fantastic this year, Coons and Andy.
They have. And if you noticed yesterday, the Baltimore Ravens punted that ball to the sidelines in every effort they could yesterday to keep the ball out of Travis Benjamin's hands as well, because he is now a real threat, or has always kind of been, but a real threat with the special teams unit playing so very well that they're kind of coffin cornering Travis Benjamin, catching the ball on the sidelines, not allowing him to return the football.
And I think it cost them some yards in that game. I thought
it did.
A couple of those punts angled to the sideline and probably went a little bit farther to the sideline.
It always will.
Than they would have liked. He still averaged a solid 49.2 net. The guy can kick the football a little bit, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Still a solid day for him, but you like what they're doing on special teams. And right now, Travis Coons is Mr. Perfect, and he brings the win to the Browns for the first time in Baltimore since 2007. 216-578-0850, the way to come in and enjoy us here on this Victory Monday. Let's go to James in Portland. Jem is truly outrageous. James is in Portland, though. What's up, James?
Listen, guys. Travis Coons.
Dude, he's awesome.
Not to mention, play.
Big play Gare is doing it like nobody.
He caught that ball with his feet, his eyes. We blew up out here in Portland, man, watching that game. Holy cow, man. I wish I was there. I wish I could feel the vibes in Cleveland. Go Browns, baby. Love it.
Go Browns, man.
Thank you
for the call. Thank
you. We're going all over the nation today, the Dog Pound, getting fired up. And I'll tell you, so I was right there.
Give them something to get fired up about.
And they'll get fired up.
And they'll get fired up.
I was right there for the touchdown by Big Play Gear. I was right there. And
oh, you were a star on TV as well as Casey Kulis on many occasions.
I heard that there was a lot of airtime.
There was.
Yeah.
It was obviously you guys were on the right sideline from where the camera was.
Yeah, did I have one moment in particular that was good?
No. Just like, oh, there's Nathan. There's Nathan again. Nathan Casey. Casey Nathan.
Did the suit look all right to you? Did it pass?
No, it was good.
It was a good suit. It was a winning suit. That's all I care about.
Right?
So I was right there for that catch. And I see it, and I could see it clear as day that it had never touched the ground. And it was so funny because I ran down, and I was screaming, that's a touchdown. I'm like, he caught it. That's a touchdown, touchdown. Screaming at the refs, touchdown, touchdown. And the Ravens man cheerleaders were like, yeah, it's not a touchdown. I'm like, it's a touchdown. Watch it, man cheerleader. And then sure enough, the refs, the part that amazed me the most, not that they ended up being a touchdown, but that they actually got it right on the field
right.
The first time.
And did you notice the referee who was right there after, say, halfway through their deliberation between the three, there was originally the two, then the third came in to kind of, you know, bring an extra voice, and he kind of put his hands to his shoulders halfway through it and then put them down really fast, and they continued to talk and talk and talk. He then backed away and put his hands in the air. And the second he put his hands up, because he had the best look at it,
yep.
I stood up and was just like, it's a touchdown, it's a touchdown. You know, and then I mean, it happened so fast on TV, you couldn't tell what happened. And then the replay was clear as day. But when I saw the referee who put his hands up, you'll never put your hands up and then pull them down. So when he put them up to his shoulders as if he was going to signal touchdown, I knew from that point forward it was a touchdown.
It certainly was. And I'll tell you, when he came back over, the ref came back over there, right? I was like, ref, you got that right. And I told him, I was like, they'll prove it on that replay. And he's like, we'll see. So I don't even know if he was totally sure of what he saw at that point, because that was the guy who came in from the goal line who was right there.
Yeah.
And then sure
with his
enough,
back, he had Barnage's back.
He would have been on the wrong side of the ball, but
right.
He angled himself out to kind of look at it, and then had to immediately get back to look at the goal line to make sure he broke the plane.
Which he never got touched. The guy went to swat the ball, and Garrett just rolled over.
Right. So, amazing play.
2 weeks in a row. Great
big
catches.
Play, Garrett. Two of absolute circus catches. Ben the Painter. Welcome, Ben.
Nathan's a girl. What's going on, my man?
Not too much. Just enjoying this victory Monday. A great win for the Browns, 33-30. How are you doing today?
I am doing very good for pretty much the exact same reason. One of the things that I have realized today is that there's a lot of pain and heartache that goes into being a Cleveland Browns fan, but one of the little bright windows you have is I feel like we get more out of a regular season victory than any fans of any other team in the league, because they come so, you know, few or what have you. But everyone really appreciates a win like that. And I think, you know, if you're a Patriots fan, a win at Baltimore is ho-hum. But to us, you know, the entire city's fired up. And I'm just, today is one of the few days where I'm really happy I'm a Browns fan, and I appreciate that. And, you know, I just wanted to put that out there.
I agree. It's a great day to be a fan. It's a great day to see this team come through, because you got this. When they got down there and had first and goal at the 10, you're like, no, this it can't happen. And all of a sudden, I'm standing there thinking of all the scenarios that are going to go, like, what's it going to mean Monday? What's it going to mean for the staff? What's it going to mean for the city? What's it going to mean, you know, what's going to happen?
For the product in the field the next week?
Yeah. This was just one of those massive, massive, had to have it. We talked about it all week, and they got it, and it was just a huge win for this team. Brian in Parma, welcome to the show.
How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful.
Yes.
I would like to tell you that, that was just such a pivotal, important game. I mean, you talk about you have to win, because if we go in 1-4, we lose that game, our season's over. I mean, it's scrapped, you know, but Josh McGowan, I'll tell you what, I don't know how Johnny Manziel doing the NFL, but if he studies and learns from Josh McGowan, I think that kid will be all right. And it's important to me because I was born and raised here, and I'm a diehard Browns fan, but I've been living in Alabama for the last 20 years. All I've ever heard is Nick Saban this and Alabama that. And I'll tell you one thing, if Johnny Manziel learns from Josh McGowan like I know he can, he's a smart kid, I think we're going to be all right, man. I mean, I know we need to work on our running game, but I'll tell you what, that was a passing playbook example. I mean, I can't say enough nice things about Josh McGowan. And on one other note, and I'll hang up and listen because I love your show, but I'll tell you what, if Johnny Manziel doesn't make it in the NFL, he's still a game in my book because he beat Nick Saban twice, once in his own backyard. So go Browns. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go Browns. That's
thank
right.
Thank you very much for the call. And Josh, you got to love what Josh McCown's doing. These players love him clearly. And you know, I thought overall, philosophically, I would have gone to Johnny Manziel. But listen, Josh McCown has played well enough to win 3 weeks now. Every week that he's been there, so I understand giving you the best chance to win because he's playing at a level that I didn't even know maybe that Josh McCown was capable of playing. And I was very effusive in my praise of him when the Browns signed him because I remembered that stretch there in Chicago where he was very good, 13 touchdowns and one touchdown. By the way, Josh McCown's jersey is on its way to the Pro Football Hall of Fame, the one that he wore in the victory yesterday over the Baltimore Ravens. And when you look at what he has been able to accomplish, it really is remarkable. And he talked with Peter King. For those of you who didn't see it, I'd recommend going to Monday Morning Quarterback, mmqb.si.com. And one of the things that he said, one of the reasons he decided to keep playing and come here to Cleveland was that you know, he didn't want to be known as that one-hit wonder who had that good stretch of games in Chicago and then went to Tampa and got a last opportunity, fell on his face, and that was it for him. And there were a lot of reasons why he didn't succeed in Tampa Bay. And you can look at his record right now with the Browns and say, well, he's only won one game. No quarterback would have won the game in San Diego because no quarterback couldn't have played much better than Josh McCown played in that game. That was not on Josh McCown. He's playing well enough to win every time he goes there. He wanted to get that taste out of his mouth, and he certainly has done it. And for him, this was the best passing game of his career. Highest yards total ever in Josh McCown's career. Highest three-game stretch ever in his career. And not only is Josh McCown's jersey going, as is big play Gary Barnage's, as Kevin Mack is walking through the office with these jerseys that will make their way to Canton and the Pro Football Hall of Fame. But it's just remarkable. And I even said to him today, you know, and hopefully we're going to get that audio for this show, and certainly it'll be on the coach's show and used on ClevelandBrowns.com, the Browns mobile app. But I said, did you ever think when you came to the Browns, okay, and you signed that contract, and they're telling you we're going to run the football and we're not going to ask you to do that much and we're going to play this great defense, we're going to run the ball, blah, 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 that you would, over a three-game stretch, throw for 1,154 yards, that you'd throw for 457 in a game, that you'd throw for more than 340 in three straight games? Did it even occur to you that that was within the realm of possibility? And he was like, you know, we knew that we could win games, but he said it's a credit to Flip recognizing what we're doing well right now and going with it.
And even more so than that, you know, Mike Pettine, along with Ray Farmer, went out looking for players that fit the type of football that they wanted to play as Cleveland Browns. And you have to give some credit to Mike Pettine to basically hand the reins over to John DeFilippo and the trust in him to play the to call the plays, to create the game plan that allows you to win football games the way we've won or competed in football games for the last, what, eight, now 10 quarters of football, deviating from the run and simply just using it to set up your pass. Because your pass and what you're doing right now and being in gun as much as we're in gun and no longer under center and taking that 50-50 run pass read away from the defense by simply saying, we've got a good quarterback, we've got guys that are bought in, and they're going to out-execute you, and we've got an offensive line that's good enough to protect long enough for him to deliver an accurate ball to what a lot of people said weren't playmakers good enough to win down in, down out in the National Football League.
And the fact of the matter is it's helped our running game exponentially. Not that we had great running stats, but if you watch that game when we drove down the field at the end, they did it running the football, and they did it out of the shotgun on the inside handoffs between the tackles, and the Browns between the center and the right guard yesterday averaged 6.5 yards a carry, 4 carries for 26, and they came on that last drive. That's where it was. It was inside handoff back. Oh, switch sides. You're going to run it this way this time. Inside handoff, inside handoff, inside handoff. That's what the Browns were able to do, and you got to be very happy with the adaptation of this offense and what John DeFilippo has been able to do and what, you know, Josh McCown has been able to do, what Gary Barnage has been able to do. Gary Barnage, Travis Benjamin already have had career years and we're 5 games into this season.
That's so crazy for me to think about.
It's crazy. It's madness. All right, we'll be back with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, when we return here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.